The Money Show. Shapeshifters.
Our shapeshifter this evening is Kelvin Joel. He's co-founder at the Johannesburg Pastry and Culinary School, funded by the NEF, the National Empowerment Fund, and went through an incubator process. And how many bakers are you training?
This year we've got about 600 kids went through our school yet. For this year we've got about 113. Just starting, so we normally try to take about 250 a year.
250 yeah. Kids a year. I mean, you started off, your first batch of young people were people like car guards. Or was that just one of the batches?
That was just one of the batches. I think when we started out of school, we wanted to get a space activated, and, you know, and there was a couple of guys that we knew that wanted to become chefs as well. And so we put them through a program.
Why focus on pastry? I mean, pastry is lovely. You don't look like a pastry chef. You're too skinny. Well, they say never trust a skinny chef. But why go the pastry route? I mean, is it a thing for demand, or pastry chefs in big demand?
I think there is still a big demand for pastry chefs. There isn't a lot in the country yet. I think the reason why I went is because I was a pastry chef myself. So I work for a couple of 5-star hotels. And I think it's a skill that a lot of people can do. I think there's a lot of emphasis that it's only a specialized skill. Certain people can do it. And I believe that if you really put your mind to it, you can achieve anything.
I mean, and pastry covers what?
That covers desserts, baking breads, baking cakes. Not so much from a bread point of view, but more from a sweet making desserts.
It's the craft. I mean, if you look at what restaurants charge for desserts nowadays, you can't afford to get it wrong.
Yeah, no, you can't.
It's a very finicky, high level of detail kind of job. So the profit margins in it can be incredibly good.
Yes.
Because the input costs aren't always that high.
Yeah.
But it's in that space. You started out in Maboneng, but Maboneng unfortunately sort of has gone through trials and tribulations. And I see you've relocated yourselves to an old Standard Bank branch almost across the road from the Rand Club.
Yes, that's exactly right.
This is Marshalltown. This is CBD of Joburg. It must be an incredible space, an old bank.
Yes, it is. It's quite an awesome space. And a lot of people walking in really love the space. The students enjoy the space as well.
It's got big ceilings and marble all over the place and
yes,
grand staircases.
Exactly.
And
so we're looking at doing quite a few events as well. So we've opened it up for more events as well. And I think that's for the students also being exposed to quite a bit of events, you know, to help them with their practical experience.
And so these students, how then do you select students to come through your program?
Well, we currently people apply, and we've got a culinary diploma program. We've got a pastry one, and we've got a certificate one. And it's all City and Guilds accredited, international accredited courses, yes.
And how did you get that right?
When we started a school, we applied for accreditation through City and Guilds. And they came through, inspected our space, and they gave us the accreditation.
I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity for young people who want to globalize and who want to work anywhere in the world. I mean, ships, I wouldn't want to go and work on a ship right now.
Yes, definitely
not right now, but generally, I mean, if you want a life of adventure on the ocean wave and just the huge job, of course, that is required to feed, you know, 2,000-3,000 people a day, three times a day, there are not many opportunities, of course, in the world that can give you that kind of exposure.
No, definitely. And I think we've got a couple of students that's currently in the States, purely because of the diploma that they've acquired over the past years. And I think that's what we want our youngsters to experience, you know, what is overseas, come back. And, you know, then, I mean, the market is still open in South Africa. You know, there's a lot of opportunities.
What made you bow out of being the pastry chef into running the school? What was your decision-making process?
I think I've always been entrepreneurial. I've always wanted to have my own business. I know there was more to the 9-to-5. And I was more of a rebel when I was working, you know. Always tried to challenge why things are working this way. And I think when I was at Saint and Son as a senior pastry chef, I couldn't see myself staying there for long in those kind of positions, and I wanted more for myself.
Most people doing what you do would go out and start a bakery, a nice niche little bakery, and make beautiful things, and then supply places like Tsohosan or whatever the case might be. but you've chosen an alternative route to actually go and teach others the craft, because it is a craft.
Yes, definitely. I think before we started, so me and my wife always had a business going, you know, at a catering, and we had a bakery in El Rado Park where we made about 1,000 loaves of bread a day. So we were supplying the local areas.
That's, you know, 3 a.m. stuff. I mean, people don't want their bread at 10 o'clock in the morning when it suits definitely. You. They want their bread at 5. Thank you very much.
So we had a quite a big team. Was a couple of guys that baked overnight, and we were still working back then, so it was really a tough one. So in 2012, when we quit our jobs and started a school full on.
So, you both quit your jobs at the same time?
Yes.
You're crazy. Because, I mean, it's a high risk thing. So often in couples, people go say, no, you know what? You quit or I quit. We'll start and then we'll build this thing slowly. You took both feet and went straight in.
Yeah, I think that, so we had a clear understanding of what we wanted to achieve in the process. And I think the support from both of us, we knew what we wanted out of the whole thing. And just having that support when we jump ship, we know there's not going to be money for a while, you know, and understanding where that coming from. And I think from my wife's side, knowing that, buying into my vision, understanding where I want to take this thing was quite an awesome.
I mean, did you have startup capital? Had you worked for years and actually put money aside, squirreled it away in order to have the money to buy the gear? Because, I mean, starting a bakery school, you'd need a lot of capital equipment.
We actually, when we started out, we took our little pensions that we had, and we put it into the business. The rent was ridiculous. We couldn't afford a rent that much. And I think it was purely taking a leap of faith, you know, understanding what we wanted to achieve out of this whole thing.
But it is nice to know you got a skill to fall back on. If it all does go pear-shaped, you go back to the Santa and Son and go, only kidding.
Yeah, but I think that was one of the things when I jumped ship, it was, I'm not going to go back. I'll rather sell potatoes on the street and learn how to make money, understanding the skills of running a business. You know, I think that was one of the things that I set out.
How do your students fund their studies? Because in any professional training, it's quite a costly exercise. And for many young people, people who've got the strength and the energy and the determination and the vigor to go into pastry chefing, because, I mean, chefing is a hard job. I don't care what anybody says about it. It's endless hours, and it's hours on your feet. You've got to have a particular resilience to do it.
Yeah, so our students are all privately funded. So we've got a scholarship that we started, is Seabiscuit Foundation, where we give two to three students every year full scholarship, but it's mostly privately funded.
We're talking this evening to Kelvin Joel. He's the co-founder of the Johannesburg Pastry and Culinary School. It's a startup. It is in its eighth year now, having moved from Maboneng to Marshalltown, downtown Johannesburg, across the road from the old Rand Club. Is that open or is it empty? The Rand Club.
It's still open.
Is it still open? Oh, that's good news. It was mothballed for a while, but
it's a beautiful space as well.
Another beautiful space. Kelvin Joel, more with him in a moment.
The Money Show. Shapeshifters.
Tonight, shapeshifter Kelvin Joel, the co-founder of the Johannesburg Pastry and Culinary School, started the business with his wife in 2012. A lot of people, when they start out in business, kind of go, right, I must have embossed writing paper, I must have nice envelopes, I need ovens, and there mustn't just be Defy ovens, they've got to be Smeg ovens or whatever the industrial standard is that you guys would use. But it doesn't ever start like that, does it? I mean, it starts with, you know, maybe you've got a second-hand oven from somewhere and you're going to make the blooming thing last until you can afford to buy a new one.
I know, definitely. I think the Chinese ones came in quite handy in the beginning. So I think when we started out, it was when we have a function or when we have a team building class, we'll take the money and go buy more equipment. And that's how we build a school. You know, every time when we do something, we get some money. We'll always reinvest the money back into the business.
And basing yourselves in downtown Joburg, I mean, from a location point of view, for your students, I mean, it's got to be, there's a huge upside to that potentially.
No, definitely. I mean, it's just, for most of them, it's just one taxi. And I think that's helping us quite a bit, in getting students into our space. And I think for the CBD, the reason why I went into the CBD is to make it accessible for a lot more youngsters.
Yeah, I mean, it's about that accessibility. It's about the affordability. Because also, once you have to pay the fees, getting in and out and not having the income to substitute for yourself is really tough. How long is the course?
We've got 1 year, 2 years. So then so we've got some students that do the whole 3 years.
How long does it take to make pudding?
So what we do is our students are 3 months at the school. 3 months they go into industry, so we send them to a couple of hotels, restaurants, then they come back for 3 months just to upskill them a little bit more. So our payoff line is we want to train students that are productive, independent, and employable. So we try to give them as much exposure as possible working in the industry. Our students do practicals every day, and that is in order to get them ready to get jobs.
And it's got to be quite a tough environment. I mean, as a teacher, are you more Gordon Ramsay or Jamie Oliver?
No, maybe more Jamie Oliver. because we try to create an environment where they can learn. There's not a lot of stress. When they go into the industry, you know, it's really tough out there. So when they get in there, they feel the difference between school and actually the industry.
Do you get quite a high dropout rate when they realize what the reality is like?
I think once they finish their diplomas, and then you'll find some of them will veer off. So we currently have a strong entrepreneurship program as well, where we try to teach them that, listen, if you don't like the industry, you can actually go and start your own little business, or there's a lot of other options in the industry itself. You know, it's from designing jackets, you know, as I said, the industry is still wide open. So there's a lot of opportunities for them. You can go do blogging, start your own food truck, you know, so. It's quite a bit of opportunities out there.
And I mean, the world of entertainment and restaurants is massive in South Africa. We've got a very good cultural and social scene in South Africa, which needs to be fed.
Yes.
It needs to be fed. Better to be fed up than not. The National Empowerment Fund, they've made some great investments and they've made some poor investments over time. Yeah. They seem to have worked out quite well for you.
Yeah, I think from a equipment point of view, as I said, when we started out, we bought quite a lot of Chinese equipment, you know, stuff that couldn't last long. So when they came on board and we bought some equipment, we bought stuff that could last us at least another 5, 6 years, 10 years for that. You know, we bought stronger equipment.
And have they got their money back? Are they still out of the picture? Or
no, we're still paying them. We're still paying them, yeah. So I think maybe in the next 2 years we'll be done with them.
And again, for expansion purposes, I mean, a culinary school like this, difficult to replicate because it is you and your wife. Yeah. Your heart and soul is in the thing. Is it possible to franchise this? Because I would think that, you know, there are cities across South Africa which could do with this kind of very practical education?
We tried it out. We set up one school in Bloemfontein with another lady and one in Potchefstroom. And I think our systems wasn't strong enough because it was me and the wife and the team that we had around. But I think there was just a whole bunch of challenges that we faced trying that the franchising model. I think maybe in the next 5 years we'll relook at it and possibly if we do franchise, it will be our own. It won't be selling it to someone.
Yeah, I mean, and you've been using all the language of the business incubators. It's very good because you remember, you've retained it all. We're talking about spaces and talking about the challenges of doing all sorts of stuff. But you did go through an incubation program of your own. I mean, you don't go into this thing cold and have to learn just from the School of Hard Knocks. I'm sure there have been lots.
Yeah, there have been plenty. I mean, I always say the first year when we started business, when we started a school, that was just pure learning. That was like just life giving a business world, just giving us some lessons of what it's all about. And I think being part of the incubator really helped us a lot. And I mean, we're still learning, you know, we're still the people around us, people that are successful, getting advice. How do we do certain things? We're constantly learning how to grow the business.
When you look at the path that you've trodden, I mean, were there times where you looked at your wife and you just went, we can't do this anymore?
I think that the vision is quite strong from my side.
She goes, no, never. I'm mouthing no, never through the windows of the studio. She's resilient. She's tough. So you can tell us the truth.
Yeah. No, I think we knew what we wanted out of this whole thing. So there was never a point where we said we need to give up. We always try to come up with solutions. And I think we try to keep our lives fairly simple in order to make sure that we can feed the business from a financial point of view. And it's been working out quite well so far. There's been a lot of times when it was really tough.
I mean, and in terms of eventing and all of that sort of stuff, because there's no better training ground than saying to your crop of students, right, tonight there are 200 people from XYZ Bank. You've got APSA right there. You've got Standard Bank right there. F F&B's around the corner. They're coming to, and you're going to teach them how to become pastry chefs. So you're going to teach them how to make, I don't know, chocolate eclairs or whatever the case might be.
So our students, we do a lot of team buildings. At Mabuneng, in the space of Mabuneng, we did quite a lot of team building. So we're looking at doing exactly the same thing in a new space. That space actually lends itself quite well for a lot of team buildings. It's got a nice master chef look and feel with people standing on the balcony. So when we do have those events, our students are definitely involved in getting that experience.
And when you look at the crop of students, I mean, you said that a whole bunch of them are in the United States. Some would have gone into their own businesses. I mean, do you think you're creating superstars of the future?
Hopefully we do, and that's our plan. All we want them to do is be independent. So we clearly want them to be employable first of all. If they don't see themselves fitting into that space, go the entrepreneurial route, and hopefully they can become superstars in their own right.
I mean, again, I just, you know, I quote Jamie Oliver because I've enjoyed watching the simplicity of what he does, and he's done really lots of good charitable stuff. There was a restaurant called 15
yes.
Where he took kids off the street and stuff, but he was so constantly disappointed because he'd be taking kids off the street and be giving them a break, and they just couldn't handle it, and they couldn't cut it. And I mean, and you know, lots of kids come from tough backgrounds, and they just can't maintain the discipline. They can't get there on time. Life is hard. Life happens. Do you find yourself in those spaces?
So we tell the students we're coming from those backgrounds, so they can't tell us any story that you haven't heard before. You know,
or you haven't lived yourself.
Yeah. So it's listen.
You ran a business in Elders, which is a tough environment.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm actually from Westbury. I opened up the business in Eldos. There was an old man, Uncle Freddy, that opened up his space for us. And we basically opened up the business. So when we tell our students, if they come with stories, listen, we've been through that stories. We understand what you're going through. You have an opportunity right now to change your life, not only your life, but most probably your kids' lives as well. So, you know, we need to think breaking that cycle of impoverishment, you know. So I think it's bigger than yourself at this point in time.
So, I mean, you come across as a tough love kind of guy.
Yeah, I am.
but it is so... I mean, I wouldn't wish a tough upbringing on anybody, but to have had that tough upbringing, to be able to then relate to kids from that environment and say, I've managed to break out of that cycle. Let me help you break that cycle, but it is up to you to do it.
Exactly. So with our Seabiscuit students, we let them work in our, so we've got the coffee shop in Mabuneng as well. So we supply a few retail shops with cakes as well, catering companies. And what we do is, the part of the selection process is you need to come and work at least for 2 months in our pastry kitchen and the bakery. So we've got a little coffee shop. And then we test your character, see if you really want it, you know. So the guys that really, really want it, we put them onto a full scholarship.
And, I mean, do you turn kids away?
Yeah, there's quite a few that we've turned away that's not really serious, especially from a Seabiscuit point of view. You know, they think they want it. And when they actually see the hard work, when they have to grind and really get their hands dirty, they realize it's not for them.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to help people to make that realization themselves. Because
true,
I mean, they think that they're very good at something, or they're just not cracking it.
Or they've watched it on TV and they think it's all glamorous. When they actually realize how hard it is, they can't smoke the pipe.
I mean, we're talking an industry of 14, 16-hour days here, aren't we?
No, definitely. It's really tough out there. I mean, and it's purely about passion. You know, it's when you get into it, it's about serving people. It's about making sure that you come back the next day and improve on yourself. If you've done a dish, if something went wrong, maybe you need to come back the next night and improve on it. So I always take it back to life. You know, it's about, when life gives you some lemons, you come back the next day, turn it into lemonade, you know, and that's how we try to get the students to understand that part.
What's the next step? You're educating, training 350 young people every year. Can you expand? Can you grow this thing?
Definitely. That's definitely in the plans. So our plan is within the next 3 to 4 years is to own the space, our own space. And there's a lot of programs that we'd like to put it on. We'd like to go into the NCV programs where we take kids from grade 10, 11, 12, and start training them up to become chefs. So that's the next step for us.
It's such an exciting story. Calvin Joel, thank you for coming to share it with us. The co-founder at the Johannesburg Pastry and Culinary School, across the road from the Old Rand Club.